Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 14. In this chapter, we have the laws concerning clean and unclean foods and the laws concerning tithes. Let's begin by reading the first two verses. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor shave the front of your head for the dead. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 14, with some background notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, the subject was commands concerning false prophets. Israel was to show no tolerance in this area because God wanted his people set apart from the foreign nations and their pagan religions. We saw that God allowed the false prophets to arise as a test of faith for his people. Would God's people remain faithful to the Lord, or would they fall away to idolatry? The false prophets were also a test of the people's faithfulness to the laws of the Lord. Would they judge and eliminate the false prophets in accordance with God's laws, or would they let them live and thus reap the consequences of disobedience? God wanted his people set apart from all the surrounding pagan nations and any influence they might have through the false prophets. Now here in chapter 14, we see that Israel as God's people were not only to be set apart from the practices of the pagan nations, but they were to be set apart by their distinctive lifestyle, which would reflect God's holiness. We see in verse 1 that they were not to cut themselves nor shave the front of their heads for the dead. These were pagan practices of the Canaanites in connection with their false religious ideas, and the children of Israel were not to get involved. This law is also given in Leviticus chapter 19. I'm reading Leviticus chapter 19, verses 27 and 28. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 27 and 28. In verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 14, we see that the reason for all of these laws and restrictions for God's people was because they were a holy people. That is, a chosen people set apart from all other peoples on the face of the earth for the Lord. This unique position was to be reflected in the very lifestyle of the children of Israel. Here in chapter 14, we have two areas where Israel was to be different and distinct among the nations: the area of food and the area of money. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 14. So doctrinal point number one, the Lord's people should be different than the world's people in what they consume. The Lord's people should be different than the world's people in what they consume. Verses 3 through 21. This section is a review of the dietary laws given in Leviticus chapter 11. You shall not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. And you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hoofs split into two parts, and that chews the cud among the animals. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, you shall not eat, such as these: the camel, the hare, and the rock badger, for they chew the cud but do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean for you. Also, the swine is unclean for you, because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses. These you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all that have fins and scales. And whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. All clean birds you may eat, but these you shall not eat: the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the red kite, the falcon, and the kite after their kinds, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk, after their kinds. The little owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the fisher owl, the stork, the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe and the bat. Also, every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. You may eat all clean birds. You shall not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now, when we read these verses, probably the first two questions that come to mind are, number one, why did God give these laws? And number two, why exactly were certain animals and birds and fish clean and others unclean? Why, for example, did a cloven hoof and chewing the cud make an animal clean? Whereas if it lacked either of these features, it was unclean. By the way, the fact that the rabbit and rock badger, or coney, do not regurgitate their food is not a scientific error in the Bible. Their constant chewing falls within the scope of the Hebrew phrase used here and rendered chew the cud in most translations. Now, we don't have all the answers to our questions about these clean and unclean laws, but let me share three reasons that are probably part of the overall answer as to why the Lord gave these laws to his people in the Old Testament. Number one, for hygienic purposes. Without refrigeration and the knowledge of disease and germs that we have today, God's people needed these dietary laws just to stay healthy. In the hot climate of the Middle East, meat would decay rapidly, and we know that many of these creatures could carry disease. The fact that the children of Israel were not to eat anything that died of itself, verse 21, but that they could give it to the aliens or sell it to the foreigners, did not mean that God was allowing disease to be passed on to the foreigners. No, under the law, the children of Israel were not to touch anything that had died, including humans. Number two, a second reason for the clean and unclean laws was to keep God's people separate from any pagan practices and any possible syncretism. Take, for example, the law not to boil a young goat in its mother's milk at the end of verse 21. We know from the ancient Rosh Shamra tablets that this was a pagan practice of the Canaanites to supposedly increase the fertility of the fields and flocks. So some of the clean and unclean laws were to clearly separate God's people from any idolatrous practices. And number three, a third reason for the clean and unclean dietary laws was for the spiritual lessons and spiritual pictures associated with these laws. Let's face it, we are what we eat, both physically and spiritually. What we consume greatly affects us. What are we reading? What are we watching on TV? What are we looking at on the internet? Is it clean or unclean? Does our daily diet include the Word of God? Maybe the spiritual picture in the cloven hoof and chewing the cud is that what we digest and our separated walk go together. The Lord's people should be different than the world's people in what they consume. Doctrinal point number two. The Lord's people should be different than the world's people in how they give. The Lord's people should be different than the world's people in how they give. Verses 22 through 29. Deuteronomy chapter 14, beginning now with verse 22. You shall surely tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. We read about the required tithe in Leviticus chapter 28 and Numbers 18. The question now is whether the required tithe here in Deuteronomy chapter 14 is the same tithe or a second tithe. There are early rabbinic commentaries that considered this tithe of Deuteronomy chapter 14 as a second tithe that was brought to Jerusalem, and part of it was used for a feast of celebration before the Lord, and the rest was given to the Levites. If the distance from Jerusalem was great, then the grain and flocks could be exchanged for money, and the money brought before the Lord. The portion that was used for the Feast of Celebration could be used for whatever meal they wanted, including wine made from grapes, or stronger drink made from grain. Verse 26. This did not mean that they could get drunk, however. Every third year, they would give this second tithe to the Levites, who lived in their hometown. This tithe was also to provide for the orphans and widows and aliens who were in that town. Verses 28 and 29. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. This system of giving was unique in the ancient world. God's people were different than the world's people in their giving. And the same should be true today. Now, there is no command in the New Testament for the Christian to tithe. But if we follow the principles of giving in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, we will be generous and at least tithing. The Lord's people should be different than the world's people in how they give. And now, what about practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 14? Dare to be different. Dare to be different. You know, we often hear that we should dare to be a Daniel, that is, in our Christian courage and backbone. What about dare to be different in what we consume and feed our minds on, as well as dare to be different in our giving? Are we generous in our giving, or do we only give token amounts to the Lord? Is there really any significant difference between us and the average good-living unbeliever in what we consume with our minds and in how much we give away of our money? Well, let's hope so. Let's hope there's some differences. Dare to be different.